Hi, I'm Jacob.
And I'm Jessica.
Welcome to Whodunit, the podcast where we make wild guesses about fake TV crimes.
Without any clues, context, or apparently accuracy. All right, let's find out.
Who was right?
Who was wrong?
And who is dead? All right, Jessica, let's just get right to the point. Today we are watching Mrs. Sidhu Investigates, which means that before we do anything else, we have to talk about Indian food and just get it out of the way. Just get it out of the way so we can focus on the rest of this podcast and not be obsessed with Indian cuisine. So right now, even though it's dinner time and we're going to be watching this, tell me what your favorite Indian food is.
Okay, I'm going to say the Saag Paneer is my favorite.
Paneer, very good, yeah.
I also like pretty much all the, I mean, there are a million curries,
yeah.
But like kormas are great. And I was trying to remember, what are the little triangular packets?
Samosas?
Samosas with potato and peas. I mean, pretty much any country makes doughy things with potatoes
lots
and peas
starches.
In the middle of it, and like, oh, so good. Just so good. And yeah, they're the best.
Okay. So that's so.
Oh, and naan. How could I forget? Oh my God. Naan.
Yeah, nice.
Every kind
naan.
Of naan. Any kind. And I'm sorry, Sheer, or whatever the name of your company is, Shar, that makes the gluten-free naan. You haven't nailed it. That is not naan.
Nobody can make gluten-free naan. Like Jessica.
It makes me so sad.
Jessica, I love you. You know this. And I'm here with you on your gluten-free journey. But gluten-free naan, gluten-free pizza, all the things gluten-free, they're not. I'm here to tell you, I'm over here in the gluten camp being all like, yeah, no, it's better over here. So, sorry. I second all the things you just said. But I will also say that I am a huge fan of palak chol or shana palak, the whole spinach and chickpea dish.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes.
It's just amazing. So yeah. So, okay. Now that's out of the way. Now I need you to focus on mystery, Jessica.
No.
I need
and
you to focus
rice,
on mystery.
Rice. I want it all.
Well. In case you do, we will order from Mrs. Sidhu's catering.
So you tease me. It's too far away.
You're right. It is. Ha ha ha. Tell me about the show.
Okay. So yes, we are watching Mrs. Sidhu Investigates. We're watching season 1, episode 3. I hope there are more seasons of this show coming.
Well, there's at least 2.
Oh, really?
No, I don't know about coming. I mean, but there are 2 seasons of this show. So there's 8 episodes.
Oh, okay. Well, they pushed out all of season 1 at once.
Yes.
In September of 2023.
Just so last fall.
Yeah, just recently.
Well, as we're recording. Yeah. Who knows when you're listening to this.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So
we devoured them.
Yeah.
Well, we devoured the first 2 because we're about to guess on number 3. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So the
don't
log
worry,
line...
we're not cheating. We haven't watched this.
No pre-cheating happened.
Well, no, there's plenty of pre-cheating.
Oh,
happening,
you're right.
But
you're
there's
right.
No actual cheating.
No sleeping on the couch and falling asleep.
Yes.
No, no, procedurals.
I swear, I don't remember.
Yeah. Okay. So the log line, if
please.
You would like it, is Mrs. Sidhu is a caterer with a taste for solving mysteries. Her sleuthing turns into an unofficial partnership with the dour DCI Burton, who reluctantly accepts that together they make the perfect pairing to fight crime.
Aw. He's a lot grumpier than that makes it sound.
A lot grumpier? Dour?
Yeah.
Reluctant? I
okay,
don't know.
Fair enough.
Those are pretty
okay,
expressive.
Those are pretty expressive. Yes,
adjectives.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So she appears to have inherited her keen sleuthing skills from her father, who was a police officer, and as well, her husband was
her
also
husband.
A,
yes.
a detective also?
Yes.
Or a police officer?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I just want to say inherited makes it sound like it doesn't give her enough credit, I guess is what I'm saying. This lady pays attention. She's got a lot of skills.
Yeah. And what's our favorite part of these episodes that we were both like, oh, this is such a great touch.
What? Just watching her cook?
Well, that as well. But when she goes into her cupboard.
Yes.
And
the cupboard of death, as her son calls it.
Yes. her father, her mother, and her husband are pictures of them are in there. And then she has a little shrine, flowers and candles.
Yeah.
And she speaks to them and kind of asks their advice.
Right.
Or
but it's
tells
directly
them.
To the camera. It's great. She opens it up and then you do
right
180
in the
and the camera's and like she's talking directly to the camera.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it's so lovely.
I will also say, yes, so that's a lovely touch. Another great touch for all of this is she has an amazingly bitchin' private investigator car.
Oh, please tell me more. She does?
She does. Her little like catering van is her is her little car. And it is little. It is a K car, a K-E-I car, which is like, it's a designation of cars in Japan that are only allowed to be so big and have so much displacement. So it's this cute little minivan K car. It's a, let me bring up my notes here. The original model of it is a Daihatsu Hi-Jet. But this is where it gets interesting. The Daihatsu Hi-Jet is homologated, which means they basically ship the parts from Japan to Italy, where it is made in Italy. And in Italy, it's called the Piaggio Porter. And then that is able to be sold throughout Europe. And that's what she has. She has a little Piaggio Porter in deep blue. And like she runs that around. And I just love it. And she's a horrible driver.
Oh my gosh.
She is a horrible, like you are taking your life into your hands when she's on the road. So it's great. She's wandering around in this great little thing.
Well, and her food is fabulous. Everywhere she goes, people are like, oh, that last caterer was terrible. What you making is just wonderful. Yes. And then she's like, yes, and please talk with your mouthful.
Yes.
And tell me things. So this is labeled, take out your bingo cards, which you can go to IMDb Whodunit Podcast.
You finally made some bingo cards.
Yes, I made the bingo cards. I put them in the highlights. So take it out now.
Whodunit Podcast on Instagram.
Yeah.
At Whodunit Podcast. Go, go, go.
And it is called a comedy,
crime,
drama.
Okay.
They don't mention mystery.
We'll give you mystery.
But I'll give you mystery.
Mystery is like our like free middle square on our bingo cards, right? Like mystery, yes.
So yeah, comment on the card if you won.
Can you win with only three? We have to come up with like two other things to give people then if we're gonna try and have a winner on this.
Yeah, I guess we'll just have to keep working on
this
game.
Fair enough. Yeah, we'll have to put cooking and bitching car. Like we'll give you cooking and bitching car and put those as squares on here too.
Yeah, mustache probably.
Oh.
There always has to be a mustache in these shows.
To be clear, Mrs. Sidhu, we're not talking about
Sorry. That was not what I was saying at all. I was just saying
like some really
that
good
in the mystery
hair.
Shows, there's mustaches that show up. There was a mustache in Agatha Raisin. There's a mustache on the house.
Yes.
Okay. The episode name is Killer App. LOL. Like app like food,
yes,
app like for your phone.
I did the food part did not occur to me when you first said it, but of course now after talking about food for 10 minutes, now yes, I get it. Okay, great.
So shortly after Mrs. Sidhu becomes the in-house caterer for a software company, this CEO
I do love the fact, and they hang a lantern on this in the very first episode. The detective's like, you remember in the '70s, I think he says the '70s, he may say the '80s, but he said the '70s, the golden age of the wacky detective who just had like weird skills. She's like, now we've got a catering one. It's like, yes. Yes, you do. And it just so happens that she's going to, like, her catering job is going to have to take her to all these different places. So, yes, I love it. So, please continue.
So, she's at a software company, and the CEO is found strangled at his desk the night he signed a deal to sell the business. Mrs. Sidhu works with a begrudgingly appreciative DCI Burton to crack the case.
Good job.
Yes.
I bet they figure it out.
Yeah. Quick little side bar on this show.
Please.
Also, IMDb does not list the locations where they filmed it, but it is set in Slough. The story is, and the show is set in Slough, which is a town outside of West London in the Berkshires, if that's how they pronounce it. That's how we pronounce it in the U.S.
It's also just as, theoretically, the Berkshires are just as fancy in England as they are in the U.S.
Or they can be.
Yeah.
Slough is famous for a few things, not least the Mars Bar is produced there, even though it's an American company. The crosswalk, the zebra stripes in a crosswalk, which are in Abbey Road, the cover album.
To be clear, she's talking about the album cover. She is not saying that Abbey Road is a cover album.
Right.
The Beatles just covered some unknown band for Abbey Road.
Right. Snooker.
You've heard it here first. Wait, what? I'm sorry. Snooker was invented
in Slough. Okay. Yes. Slough was also the setting for the paper company in Ricky Gervais's The Office. And this will become clear as to why the comedy sort of, or the meaning of why they chose Slough. Slough also, for my favorite show, Slow Horses.
Slough House.
Slough House. But Slough House is in a totally different place of London. But the Slough is probably going to become evident, the name Slough, why the author of those books and the TV show.
Because it's a little lower class. Slough is a little lower class melting pot, working class kind of thing.
It's industrious. It's very industrious. Mm-hmm. And there's lots of affordable housing there, lots of jobs. The unemployment is extremely low there in Slough. So here's the thing. It has become a sort of a butt of jokes for a poster child of industrial overreach when it was maligned in an eponymous poem, meaning Slough.
Name
this poem is Slough, by Sir John Betjeman, B-E-T-J-E-M-A-N.
Okay.
Note this. 1937 is when he wrote this poem and released it in a collection.
Oh, dear.
Keep in mind, this is 2 years before Britain entered World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the start of the poem. Come, friendly bombs, and fall on Slough.
Oh, no.
It isn't fit for humans now. There isn't grass to graze a cow. Swarm over, death.
Jesus.
Come, bombs, and blow to smithereens these air-conditioned bright canteens. Tinned fruit, tinned meat, tinned milk, tinned beans, tinned mines, tinned breath. Mess up the mess they call a town. Apparently,
he was real popular with his neighbors.
Yeah. Ricky, Jack.
You know, trying to make property values increase around here, not really the best thing.
Yeah. Apparently, they read this in the office.
Oh, you think you're better than us?
Wait,
they read this in the office?
Yeah, he reads it a little bit. He's like, I think this is a little much.
Okay.
It's not fair. So, to be fair to Slough, 850 factories opened in Slough in the interwar years, in the 20s, between World War I and World War II. That's got to be an unusually high amount for any
feels like it.
Reckoning. It attracted workers and headquarters of industry from all over the world and has continued to be a diverse majority-minority and thriving community.
Okay. Yeah. What else do we need to know?
Okay. So the main cast here, well, the cast, we'll just say, sure. And the guest stars, we have two MBEs, which are,
given
by the Queen, member of the Order of the British Empire, is what that is.
Okay, so they didn't go to business school.
It's like a degree, like an honorary
degree. Actors who went to business school, no.
No, sorry. There's also a scientist, a novelist.
Okay, they didn't go to business school, but we got a scientist out of it, okay.
A former lawyer. A fake flight attendant, a stand-up comedian, and a tramp.
What?
Are you ready for this?
Okay, hit me. I love, sure, okay.
So Mira Sile plays Mrs. Sidhu. And first off, she has 3 major awards. She has a CBE and an MBE.
Mm-hmm.
CBE is the Commander of the Order of the British Empire. MBE is Member of the Order of the British Empire. And she has a BAFTA Fellowship, which is the highest accolade of BAFTA. And this is for her career on screen and literature, these awards.
Yeah.
She is an English comedian, a writer-novelist. That's our novelist. Playwright and actress. She rose to prominence as one of the team that created Goodness Gracious Me, which is a TV sketch comedy that explores the integration of Indians and British cultures, and also for portraying Sanjeev's grandmother in The Kumars at number 42, which was a big show started in 2001. How did we say that? 2001. Sorry.
I forgot. Really, how did we say that? On 20, year 21, Blackjack.
Well, it's not 2021. It's 2001.
2001. Yes, that's precisely
when we met, Jacob.
Yes, it's true.
To me, as of late, she is famous for being on The Wheel of Time, Sandman, Kate and Koji, and Broadchurch. But just to go back,
she's in Kate and Koji in like one of the very first episodes.
Yes.
With another very famous detective that we've done. So in my brain, there is a Mrs. Sidhu and Vera crossover waiting to happen. I want to see that. I want to see Mrs. Sidhu, like, you know, cater some like thing up north.
Oh,
and
like
get away to the coast, and like, and they both kind of, Vera and Mrs. Sidhu have to like, I won't say they compete, they just have to learn how to work together.
Oh wow.
And Vera introduces Mrs. Sidhu to the to the joys of a single malt.
Ah, yes. And has to happen.
And they can bond over how much they actually both, neither of them, like children. Mrs. Sidhu has a son. She loves her son, but she's a little over her son, who's like the whole like 20-year-old man-child thing going on.
Yes, yeah.
Anyways, I'm sorry. Please continue.
Games. So, well, another funny thing about this, as I was reading it to you beforehand, is that she plays the grandma on the Kumars at number 42.
So in this show, she plays the mother to the man who is her husband in real life.
Yes.
But it's a comedy show. Like, she is wearing like, gray spray paint on her eyebrows and a very, very like obvious wig on this. So she's going in for the comedic acting for playing a grandma.
Yeah. And the creator of this show, Mrs. Sidhu, it was also a big writer and producer on that show as well. Hilarious. I hope we can find it on like Acorn or BritBox, because it looks like a really fun show. It looks like a weird
kind of Indian version of like Toast of London to a certain extent. Like somebody who's a little pompous, and then like everybody kind of takes the piss out of him all around him.
Yes. Yeah. His family all take the piss out of him, talking to him in Punjabi and like making fun of him as he's trying to bring celebrities. I think he's like a podcast or a radio show, and he brings people into his house to interview them. And then his family all
just give him hell.
Yeah, give him hell.
And God bless my kind of people.
Yeah. Another interesting fact about Meera is that she is the author of Anita and Me, which is her autobiography. She has other novels, but it's an autobiography that is assigned reading in secondary schools in the UK.
Oh, wow.
About her experience. Then we have DCI Burton.
No, the D stands for Dower in this one.
Yes. Played by Craig Parkinson, who his friends call him C Parks.
C Parks.
C for Craig.
Which sounds like a breathing apparatus.
It
you have your
does.
C Parks machine. I got my CPAP. I don't have my C Parks. Is the C Parks an upgrade?
Fun fact about him. In 2007, he starred in the film Control about the Joy Division singer Ian Curtis. And so, wait a minute, Jacob. What is Joy Division? I know, I've heard of them. They're famous. I don't know who that is.
They're a famous post-punk band. Very also in the whole like emo tradition, like one of those like seminal bands in that case. Ian Curtis was their lead singer, had epilepsy, lots of suicidal ideations. And he died by suicide before their first American tour. And the band was just poised to blow up.
Okay, well, Craig C. Parks played Ian Curtis, and he has a ton of other credits, TV credits, and his theater work also includes Measure for Measure, which when you see this guy play DCI Burton, you're like, oh yeah, he played Antonio.
This guy has the face to be an utter jerk. Yes, 100%.
Yeah. But if you look at his picture on IMDb, he looks so goofy and fun. So he has a range,
and you got to be goofy and fun to do in this. He's a straight man in this one. So.
Yes, yeah. Then we have a Sergeant Mint, who is played by Anna Ampadu, who was also on The Wheel of Time and Death in Paradise and other shows. She studied law before becoming an actress.
Again, why do these people do this? I kind of get that. Like, who lawyers? That's a hard job.
Yeah. Well, she has pipes. So she was meant for the stage.
She could be a singing lawyer. She could have been a singing lawyer. She would have gone in, sang before the judge. The jury would have given her the kiss every time. Done. What are you doing?
She was in Caroline or Change, Avenue Q, many, many other musicals. She has awards. She's fantastic.
Good
job.
You
can find her on YouTube talking about various roles.
Well, clearly she made the right choice.
Yes. And then we have Tez Sidhu, who's Mrs. Sidhu's son,
right,
as we talked about, played by Gurjeet Singh. And he has been in...
Singh or Singh?
It's probably Singh. I'm sorry. I apologize
it's
for
all good.
Mispronouncing it.
Our heart's in the right place, even if sometimes the consonants come out wrong.
Yes. Well said. Thank you. Thank you, Jacob. He has been in a number of recorded National Theater Live shows,
oh, wow,
as well as 19 episodes of the show Ackley Bridge, which is a drama that takes place at a school in a diverse community.
Okay.
Kind of looks a little Dawson's Creek-y, maybe a little bit.
Fair enough.
Yep. Then we have Gordon Kennedy, who plays Superintendent DeVries. So he is a Scottish actor.
Ooh, going all over.
Yeah. And he did a TV show, Robin Hood, with actor Richard Armitage.
Okay.
Yeah. He played Little John. And fun fact about him, he mm-hmm. has tons of credits.
Sure.
I won't list them all here. But while filming Robin Hood in Hungary, his leg was injured. And
I really thought you were going to say amputated.
No.
Okay. Injured. Okay.
And he was taken to a hospital, still in costume. So it must have been bad.
Yeah. My gosh.
And the doctors and nurses thought that he was a tramp because of his clothes. They didn't realize that he was in costume.
All right. So we've got a lawyer, a tramp,
language,
a
difficulty.
Book author, yes. One of our MBEs.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. And then we have a boatload of guest stars. But should we get to those later?
We'll get to those later.
Okay.
We'll get to those later.
That's when we're going to get to our second MBE.
And our fake flight attendant, apparently.
Yes. As well as a stand-up comedian who we should all go see. And by the way, I think we should also be cognizant of a conspiracy theory that I am developing.
Oh, do tell.
About Netflix coming for Hallmark.
Okay, you're going to have to explain this for
me. Well, we know it's coming. We know that
Netflix
somebody
wants to get on.
Yeah, and you know, Christmas movies
sure.
are out there. Hallmark.
It's true. Yes,
has
Christmas movies are
a
thing.
Lock on Christmas movies, or so they thought.
For many years, yeah.
Yeah. But I think this Netflix is coming for them. And Vancouver, I'm sorry, but the UK is coming for you because it's going to start happening. Because London, right? I mean, England, they thought they had a Christmas carol.
Literally a Christmas carol. Like, that's it. We got this. We got the Christmas story on
the
lock.
The Muppet Christmas Carol was filmed in England.
Yeah.
And, you know, Hallmark's been trying to take some corners on this. They're taking the edge, and then now they're starting to eat all of Christmas. And so
Hallmark eating all of Christmas.
Conspiracy theory is that England is coming for you.
Oh.
So you better watch out, Canada.
And why are you saying this?
Well, I mean, we'll get to it when we get to the guest stars.
Oh, okay. So you're teasing the conspiracy theory. Okay.
Yes.
Stay tuned for our conspiracy theory and our guesses. We'll be right back. You know what I love, Herd?
What?
I love a show that knows what it's about.
Yeah?
This show knows what it's about. This show knows that it's all about the food.
Oh.
We have a pizza. We have a pizza figuring prominently into our clue deck from all this. We have the murder weapon, which was a cheese slicer wire. We have the whole point that, like, there's a vibrator joke off of a magic bullet.
Which is a food blender.
And the software company, one of the whole jokes is that a foodie is a person who bought it. And this show knows that it's all about the food. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not sure that gives us any kind of clue as to who actually did it. But just so you know, there's a lot of food action happening in here.
Yeah. I was also amused because I keep talking in our other our mini episodes
right.
about Only Murders in the Building, that it's a cheesemonger / deli person that's doing it or is the murderer.
There's something in the air. And you got it.
There is an actual cheese slicer as a murder weapon.
Yes. Like the cheese slicer, like piano wire that has like the two like wooden handles on either end.
Yeah.
So at the very end of the teaser, the CEO is in his office. We'll get to what he's doing. But this figure in like tight black leather clothes comes in wearing a black motorcycle helmet with a black visor, takes the cheese cutter and uses it as like a piano wire to strangle this guy to death.
Yeah.
And then he lands face first down into a box of pizza.
Yeah. Cold pizza.
Cold pizza. He's very upset that it's cold.
Yeah.
He's like, it says, like, the place is called Piping Hot.
Yeah.
And if it's not hot, it's
smoking
free.
Hot.
Smoking hot. You're right. I'm sorry. Smoking hot. Piping hot was less of a sexual innuendo. I should. Oh well. In any event, so that's how it ends. Let's roll back a little bit and tell you how we get there, because we've got some good guesses on this one. We've got a couple of juicy guesses coming up for you here.
Yeah.
You might even say they're crisp. They're crisp guesses.
Crisp. Yes. Okay.
Apparently, crisp is like the number one word to use in menus. Like, crisp sells everything. Apparently.
Really?
Yes. Crisp is like. I forget where I read this, but yes, crisp is like the number one food descriptor word.
I have to admit, when things say crisp, I'm
you're
I'm
like,
in.
Oh yeah, see, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you how they get I ya. Like the crunchy with the like if I get a waffle cone.
It's fresh and it's crisp and it's dynamic and
great.
It's just fun. It's chewy to say. Yeah, no, yeah. Crisp. Look, you'll find it now in lots of places. Things that shouldn't be called crisp, you're like, why are you describing these mashed potatoes as crisp? Like they will find ways to shoehorn.
But they'll have like a top, like a burnt hot
see?
Top.
Exactly.
Crisp.
Crisp. This is what I'm saying. Like you will see crisp everywhere now.
Yeah.
In any event.
Yeah. Or what's it called? The creamy dessert in a pot that you flame the top of it. A creme brulee
with a crisp top. See, there you go. Okay, we're getting off topic. Let's make this.
I'm so hungry.
We just ate dinner.
I knew
it was going to be like this. This is how much it is. We are totally full. We have had dinner and yet we watched the show and now we're obsessed about food. So in any event, so this is what happens. We open on a glamorous tech hub where a merger is being announced.
It does look like a Google campus.
It's so slick that it even looks maybe CGI, but I don't think that it is.
As they were going up through floors and
like
it was all these glass
through these like glass
first, second, third, fourth floor, I was like, that second and third floor look fake.
But no, we come into an office. On the TV screen, there is the CEO talking about Zazu, this new personal assistant
app.
Not app, the app that's a personal assistant, not the character from The Lion King.
Right.
I just want to put that out
there.
Yes. We don't have toucans rolling around everywhere.
Yeah, it's basically Siri.
It's basically Siri, yes.
Or whatever you call the Google assistant or Alexa.
Alexa, yeah, and just as horrible as all that. And anyway, so. There is a merger being announced. CFO of the company, Mrs. Hamilton or Ms. Hamilton, is welcoming Mr. Galloway, I think his name is.
Uh-huh.
Yep, Galloway saying, hey, welcome to the company. And he has given everybody a merger gift, which is a bag of foodie swag.
Tools.
Like there's a tea strainer in there and everybody's, all of like the original employees are looking at each other, including Damien, looking at each other being like, what the hell is this nonsense? Anyways, but they're also all drinking out of like, they're not copper. They're like pewter drink.
I don't even think they're pewter. They look kind of stainless steel. So they look like Moscow Mule things,
right,
but they're not
silver.
Copper.
Exactly. They're silver. So there's a group of employees that are drinking out of those. And those are like the original core employees of the company. Because as soon as you go from this business with the merger, you go into another room where Damien and a few others are like, toasting glasses, or he's trying to have them toast and be like, this is great. But everyone else is just really upset with him. Nobody likes him.
Yeah. And all their, you pointed out that all of their stainless steel cups are labeled with their employee number.
I think so, yes. Because Damien's definitely has a 0001 on it, which is also his code to the security system, which I'm sorry, that is some ridiculously bad IT set.
Yeah,
that's
not
just
good security.
Horrible. Like that's, anyways. So he's got one admin assistant. Who was making fun of him while she was pouring the drinks and he was on the TV in the background.
Yeah.
Then we have one in...
To herself.
Yes.
Nobody's around.
Yes.
He doesn't hear her making making comments.
Right, yes. She's just being snarky to herself. I won't say elderly, but like an older black lady, like gray in her hair. And then there is a blonde engineer, we assume, somebody.
Yeah, she's got a leather jacket. And I think her character's name is Jade Turtle. Which seems very...
Very engineering.
The person who created it all.
I was going to say, or the UX designer or
something like that. Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, so he says, I was just trying to make things right. And she's like, there's some things you can't make right. She's very gruff and she's annoyed with him. And then there's another engineer, very nerdy. He even literally has a pocket protector with like...
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that. His
maybe
striped
he doesn't
shirt.
Have a, maybe he doesn't have a pocket protector, but he has like 5 or 6 pens in his pocket. Anyways, so they all leave and they're annoyed at him. And Damien, who's the CEO, tells the engineer, go ahead, take the night off. I will do the software updates tonight. And he's like, that's my gig. It's always been my gig. And he's like, go, I'll take care of it. But he literally slaps him around and like treats him poorly and pushes him out the door.
Yeah.
So then Damien, he goes into his office and calls his wife.
Yeah.
And calls his wife and says, look, got to take care of a few things here at the office. He orders the pizza using Zazu to order it from this smoking hot place. His wife is pregnant because she's, you had to explain this to me.
Yeah. He says, if you have Braxton Hicks, feel free to give me a call or let me know. Which call are yourself. The cramps that you get that seem like they're labor pains. That you're having labor, people go to the doctor for them and the doctors are like, no, sorry, these are Braxton Hicks. They're just normal crampy cramps. They are not labor yet. So go home.
Go home. So he does that. And then in the parking garage, we see Miss Hamilton around her very sleek convertible red Mercedes, but she has a flat tire and she's upset about that.
Did she really?
She had a flat tire. The flat tire was set. Now, who caused the flat tire, we can talk about, but she definitely had a flat tire.
Oh, I didn't really see the flat tire. I thought this was all made up.
No, there's a definite flat tire there. And part of the reason
I think she did it.
Okay, we're getting right to guesses right now.
Well, I think that whole thing was a setup. She knew he was going to drive by, and so Galloway was going to drive by in his chauffeured car.
Galloway even says, like, when he does stop by and offers her a ride, he calls her, that's why they call you Sharky Hamilton.
Right. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, she did this. And she was just waiting for him. And then she starts to see the car come around the corner and she bends over, like, Legally Blonde, and picks up a piece of paper or something that's on the ground.
I don't know what she picks up, but you're right. Like, there's a lot of male gaze happening with her skinny jeans and bending over. And everything on this.
Yeah. But I think it's relevant because of when we see the murderer come in. And we were both like, yeah, that's not the pizza delivery guy
right.
that we saw in the flashback. That is somebody else with very skinny legs and a tiny, tiny pelvis.
A tiny, tiny and also breasts that are a little bound down and like.
Yeah.
The jet. But it's clearly a woman, I guess, is what we're trying to say. The person who kills it definitely appears as if the person who kills Damien is a woman.
Yeah.
So she goes off to dinner. She doesn't go off to dinner. He invites her to dinner, but she says, no, I'm just going to go home and get some Netflix and take out. And then you cut back to the office and the pizza gets delivered. Oh, no. Before you get to the pizza get delivered, you find out that Damien is in a true love app. He's in a dating app and he gets this message from somebody in there named Yusuf who is blackmailing him and says, turn off the security in these sectors or I'll tell everybody about us. So Damien turns off security in these sectors and, like, we're going to talk about this dating app here in a second, turns off the security in the sectors. And that's when the woman in the, or we think it's a woman, that's when the figure in black comes in and kills him.
The supposed pizza delivery person.
Right.
I think the thing is that I think that TV showed us a different chronology than what actually happened. Like, I think that she punctured her tire so that it would not have air. And she knew when Galloway was going to go by.
Right.
But before this, she had gone in and done the pizza delivery. So and so she had Galloway so that as her like alibi, oh, my car was punctured or my tire was punctured. And so I couldn't drive away. But she had actually already gone up, killed him with the cheese wire, and come back down just as Galloway was leaving in his car.
I wanna disagree with you simply because I don't think that that's very sporting of them.
of the TV show,
yeah. Like it's not, I mean, you know what I mean. Like they're giving us bad information. But but in your favor, and this is like the murderer doesn't come in with that murder weapon. Like the murderer comes in, drops off the pizza, and then grabs the cheese wire.
Out of the bag, out of the swag bag.
So the only way the murderer knows that is if they
somebody inside
has had to tell him. They also, I didn't say this, the murderer also, before the murderer kills him, she drops this business card that has like two turtle doves or two like lovebirds like intertwined on it. And he's like, oh no, not now. I need more time or something or other. And then she just kills him.
Yeah.
And then they take the card and walk away.
Yeah. Yeah. So how is everybody else going to figure this out if the turtle doves are not actually around?
There. Right.
Yeah. But see, here's the other thing is that now that I think about it,
have you ever eaten turtle doves? Have you ever had doves?
No.
Neither have I. I've had quail eggs, but that's not the same thing. Anyways, please go on.
Yeah. No, I don't think I've had either. Okay. Well, when they're announcing the merger at the long table, mm-hmm. and Galloway's like, look in your swag bags, everybody. I gave everybody a gift. It's right. a theme. And everybody's looking in their bags and going like, what the hell?
Yeah.
What is Nobody's this? I don't get it. Nobody. She looks around. Victoria Hamilton. Is that really her name?
Jade Turtle?
No, Hamilton. Hamilton, the CEO lady.
Oh,
redhead,
yeah, the Hamilton lady.
With
the tire
that's... Right. She's looking around nervous. She's, like, everybody's...
She's clocking everybody not being happy about
Happy
this.
With this gift. And, like, Galloway is proud of it, and he doesn't notice any of it.
Yeah, he's a little oblivious.
But she's... So that's why I think
she's noticing
the
discontent.
Yeah, but she's noticing the discontent because then she's going to use the freaking... You know, the swag in order to kill Damien with it. And so she's noticing everybody noticing, like going through.
Okay.
It,
so she's plotting it all out there.
I think. Otherwise, well, I mean, my other guess, I'm just going to go, I'm sorry. My other guess is actually that it's a conspiracy of women because, like you
well,
said,
there's a good, well, the true love dating app.
Yeah.
He has a lot. He has one man, at least, Yusuf, who's at the top and is blackmailing him.
Yeah.
And then there's a whole list of women down the side of that app. All like some of whom are asking him for money and others, like one of them is asking when he's going to fly to see her. Like when her not even just when are you going to fly to see me, but like when does your flight come in?
Yeah.
So plans have been made. Others are asking him for money. He's asking, like, others are telling him that they don't have any money to give him.
And other people are like, why aren't you responding to me?
Yes, there is some shady stuff going on in this app.
Yeah.
Which leads me to my guess, which is, I think it's the wife.
Yeah?
I think it's the Braxton Hicks wife. She's clearly working in cahoots with somebody because the person who killed him is definitely not pregnant at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless the wife is doing a really big con and telling everybody that she's pregnant when she's not even pregnant.
That would be hard at the doctor's office.
Well, but maybe she's not even going to the doctor's office. Maybe she's just saying she's going to the doctor's office. Anyways, but I do think it's...
Because he's so busy, he wouldn't even notice.
How would he know?
Right.
But there's two different praying mantises on his desk, and we all know what praying mantises do.
Yeah, I don't understand. Why would he have that on his desk? I mean, it's great symbolism for us.
Right. I don't know why.
To be like, the female praying mantis eats the male after she has sex with him.
Yeah. But I think it's the wife because I think he is deep in debt with somebody. He is deep in debt and he's like trying to find money and he's clearly like sex addicted or love addicted with all of these people. And the wife knows it. And the wife is like, okay, I can't do anything until this merger happens. But now that the merger has happened, I'm going to get paid. There's suddenly a ton of money coming my way. And now that this is signed, sealed, and delivered, now I can kill you and you can't mess this up and give the money away to all these other women or lose it anyway. So I think the wife is behind it all. I know we haven't met her and usually we meet the people, or at least in the two episodes we've seen, we meet the person who's actually behind it all.
Yeah.
But we've seen her picture and we've talked to her. So she's like announced. So I'm going with the wife.
Okay.
You can't stop me.
No, that's perfectly valid. So Jacob says wife. My guess is...
We're giving you two.
The actual murderer is Hamilton, the CEO, redhead Hamilton.
The actual murderer is the Hamilton.
But I think it's a conspiracy of women. The engineer woman, Jade Turtle, I think she's in on it. And
because she's upset about something. She went to, like, there was one scene where she went to a locker and looked in it. And, like, we don't know if something was in there or wasn't in there, but she was clearly just kind of ugh about the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that there is something else that we're going to find out about here because, you know, Galloway bought them he's a food person.
Right.
So.
And there's a great joke. So far, the only thing we've seen the app be able to do is to actually order food because not only does it order the pizza, but Mrs. Sidhu has a great moment where she's talking to her husband and her parents in her shrine.
In the cupboard
And she's just
shrine.
Like, I wish I knew, I could know if you could hear me. And then like the lights in the house go out and go crazy. And as a very Sixth Sense
the
ghost
magic
story
bullet
moment.
Goes off.
Yeah, her
the blender.
The blender
not
goes
off. Not her vibe.
Yes. Anyways, and her son is like, it's this app. It can do everything. Like even ordered your spices. They didn't have coriander or curry, but they did have, and she opens up the box and there's a great big medieval mace in it. And she's like, mace. So far we've only seen this app order food. So maybe that's why the foodie.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, maybe he owns all the, like, Open Tables or, oh, no, like, Instacarts.
Yeah, all the Instacarts or DoorDash or anything like that.
Oh, my God, there was an Instacart commercial before the episode started.
Are you trying to get me killed with Instacart?
No, I'm just saying, like...
It's all coming together.
Yeah.
It's all coming together. They,
Acorn went to Instacart and was like, you should advertise.
Because of this episode.
Yeah. Just this one episode, which wasn't even on the front page of Acorn. Yeah. By the way, you do have to search for it, but it is there and it is a great show.
All right. And we'll tell you all about whether or not we were right or wrong on this great show.
Yeah. You might find it on Hoopla too. Or I don't know. Just look in your places.
Truer advice has never been spoken. Look in your places.
Just watch. It's a great app.
Just look in your places.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to be bossy. Okay. All right. We have our guesses.
There we go. We're on it. We'll be right back. All right. Guess what? This is two in a row for you, I think, Jessica. Jessica got it right. Jessica won.
Yay. I did. I mean, kind of half right, because I had said that there was a conspiracy of women.
Yes. So what it turns out is that, so this company, Damien, was head of this company as it was like growing up and bubbling up. And one of the things that happened was that they needed to find some money to really like make it happen. And everybody
we always need fundraising.
Always need fundraising.
And sometimes you just need $30,000. You don't need like a million or a tranche or whatever.
And everybody was supposed to come up with $30,000. And there were some people in the company having a hard time coming up with the money. Damien was not. Why not? Because Damien was scamming women on this dating app.
So crazy.
So creepy and crazy. And he scammed tons of women. Turns out, under a false name. He had like, so the Yusuf identity that was looked like we thought was blackmailing him, and everybody thought that was blackmailing him at first, and that he had this like a hidden gay lover. Turns out he was posing as Yusuf, and then as Yusuf, he would be like he would scam all of these women, including way back in the day, Bree.
Yeah, Hamilton.
Bree Hamilton, who was the angel investor
in the
company.
Not Victoria Hamilton.
Right.
Like I said, I still haven't figured out who that is, but I think it's like Falcon's Landing or Dallas or something.
Was that the blonde in Newhart?
Oh, maybe. Hold on. Okay, now we're going
to
look this up.
Yeah, now we need to know. Okay, no. The blonde in Newhart was Julia Duffy, and I am shocked that I forgot that because, of course, she was like in the mid-80s. I was all just like, she's kind of horrible, but also I'm kind of strangely attracted to her. Not strangely. I mean, whatever. But no, so who is Victoria? You found out who Victoria Hamilton
is. Well, there is a Victoria Hamilton actress, English actress, and then there is a Victoria Hamilton pen name of a mystery and romance author, and she writes like vintage food mysteries, like the English muffin, something.
Right, yeah, Death of an English Muffin, or something like that. Yeah, okay, that's why her name sounds so
familiar.
Yes, yeah. Okay, so Bree Hamilton is the one who did this. This is a very convoluted show.
Yes, I'm giving it all the Christies.
All the Christies, because there's so many things wrapped up in all of this. But yeah, we're going to jump all over the place. So yes, so he was scamming people, and turns out back in the day, he scammed her, who was also using a different identity online. So that's why he didn't know when she came in as an investor. He didn't know who she was, and she just waited and waited and waited her time for revenge on all of this.
Yes.
But to your point of all the Christies, like, this is going on. There's also, by the way, the wife is nowhere ever again.
But there is another conspiracy also.
There's another conspiracy between Calvin. Oh, I'm sorry. There's another conspiracy? What are you talking about?
I don't want to leave. I want to, you know, keep everybody guessing. I mentioned at the break, I said that there was a conspiracy that I was uncovering.
Yes. Okay, please.
But we could talk about...
No. Tell us the conspiracy. You have earned the right.
Okay. Well, Zoe Telford, who plays Bree Hamilton, she's known for a bunch of credits. But what I was going to say is that one of her credits is in 2022, she did a film called Christmas on Mistletoe Farm. It's a Netflix movie filmed in the UK. She's an English actress. And so I was like, is the UK
coming
for Vancouver? Are they conspiring with Netflix to take on
Hallmark? Just forget it. We want some of that hot Christmas tree action.
Yes. Yeah.
Christmas movie action.
And then
hot Christmas tree action. Okay, I can't wait for the fan fiction on that one. All right.
And then I was like, I don't know if I can prove this. I mean, it seems likely.
Sure.
With what's going on with Zoe Telford. But then I saw that Luella Gideon, who plays Paulina Kent,
right,
who
the
is the
assistant.
Administrative assistant, who's employee number four.
Employee number four, great sweet tooth. Like, throughout the episode, Mrs. Sidhu is just, like, completely, like, bribing her and distracting her with all these sweets throughout the, like, we need to go get a Ladoo.
Yes.
These cookies.
Oh, my gosh. Go
amazing.
Find a Ladoo, people. So, so good. Sounds great. Luella, as well as a number of other things, was in Spice World, the Paddington movie. She played a beautician on Ab Fab for four episodes. But she was in a TV movie called Christmas Carol, which has, but Carol
is the name of the character,
is the,
yes,
like the Scrooge character. So Christmas Carol, LOL, woman playing. Yeah. So I think the UK is trying to muscle
Netflix
in.
Netflix in the UK, they're trying to muscle. They've got their sights set on,
they're like,
set on Hallmark.
Okay, we had a Christmas Carol, but no, we're going to.
We're taking the crown back. You can't,
yeah,
like, yeah, we had Christmas Carol. We
the
founded
crown,
this.
Literally,
we
the crown
this.
Back. Hallmark put the crown in their thing.
Nope.
And the UK was like, no.
No, we need this back when it comes to Christmas movies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Taking it back. That's, there you go, people.
There you go. Well done.
Thank you. But back to this episode.
this actual show that we're purportedly talking about. There are red herrings, like with the Christies. There are red herrings all over the place. We talked about how Jade Turtle goes down to her locker and just like opens it up and looks inside it.
And it was empty when we first saw her.
We didn't know if it was empty.
Break.
We didn't see what was in it. We just saw her open it and look at it. We didn't know if it was empty or not, but she was
and
just
looking
at it.
And she kind of had a face like,
sad face going on. Well, turns out she had a black helmet in that locker.
Like a motorcycle helmet.
Like a black motorcycle helmet,
yes,
in that locker.
Which looked exactly like the one that the murderer was
wearing. Which is exactly like the one that the pizza guy was wearing.
Yeah.
So but it's never explained, why does Jade also have a motorcycle helmet?
Maybe it was in her monologue, though, because she talks about a character that we never found out about.
Yes, so Mrs. Sidhu notices that, yes, on these...
Well,
on
we
these,
did find out about it, but...
We found out about it eventually. Mrs. Sidhu, like, she also noticed that the mugs had numbers engraved on them. They were, in binary code, they were the numbers of the people who, like, the first employees of the company.
Yeah.
And no, she couldn't find the mug for number three. Well, it turns out the mug for number three belonged to a guy named Mike, who was one of the original founders, who couldn't come up with money, and also kind of confronted Damien about like how he was finding his money. So Damien kind of froze him out. They fought.
And we have lots of video of how Damien is like a really
real
jerky,
big jerky
and
kind
like
of.
He's doing
the
all
worst
kinds of stuff
of the
to
tech
Calvin.
Bro alpha male.
Oh my gosh, what a bully.
Yeah. Incredible bully.
And so he was this, we have it on video how he treats Calvin, but we're led to believe by Jade Turtle's monologue that he was this way to Mike, and it very much depressed him.
It depressed him, and it led it to him. Like, he was eventually, he quit or was fired, but there was definitely, he was shoved out, basically, and eventually, like, died by suicide.
Yeah.
But Jade and he were in love, and so Jade is also, like, that was the horribleness about Jade talking to Damien, being like, some things you can't ever put right. But then it comes back to, again, with the whole, like, lots of Christies, but also lots of weird red herrings. Like when
he's
getting...
I think she might have said like, "Oh, we used to go on motorcycle rides or something."
You think?
And so that the motorcycle helmet in her locker or in that locker might have been from, you know, driving around with him. Or we do find out in a weird tone shift that she was actually have the reason that the pizza guy did actually, even though the pizza was canceled, he did actually arrive at the office building, but he had sex with Jade and they went back to his mom's where he lives and they did drugs and had sex. I was just like, what?
Well, Jade, they have always like this was a weird tone thing, because on the one hand, like, this is very kind of like taking the piss out of tech people. Like, they a couple different shots of like people sitting in ball pits while they're coding, and like all the different foosball tables and pinball machines and other ways that like people are having fun around
Mrs. Sidhu's, she doesn't work in the kitchen. She takes over this It looks like a Barbie kitchen, yeah, right, that you put in your backyard.
Yeah, like little plastic My First Kitchen kind of thing.
Yeah, like it should have an easy bake.
And
one little, what's it called?
Hot plate. She's got like a hot plate
for her to
and
cook.
She's making like legit
food.
Meals on
oh my God. Like,
she's
whole
so
dinners.
She's like, she's making food and then she's like taking a fan and like blowing the scent at certain people so that she can like take the food over to them and talk to them and be nosy and get some information that the inspector can't.
She's
sly, that one, which is upsetting to her son in this episode. There is there's lots of love, upsetting love things throughout this episode.
DCI Burton sleeps on her couch.
Yes, because he's in the middle of a divorce and the wife got the house. And so he's staying at this very depressing, like, single residency occupancy hotel.
Yeah.
So he ends up sleeping on her couch for a couple days. Mrs. Sidhu ends up inadvertently flirting with Polly, the spice guy, much to Tez's dismay.
Oh, let's talk about him for a second.
Sure, yes.
That actor is our scientist and our second MBE.
Okay.
His name is Asaf Afzal, and he has an MBE also for his contributions to science, and he
left it all behind
to become an actor.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's adorable.
He is adorable.
Yeah, 2017.
It's clearly worked out okay for him.
He started becoming an actor, and he has he's been building his credits since 2017.
Well, so Tez is just losing his mind all over the place because she is just like,
and she's sending eggplants to people, like the emojis.
She doesn't realize what it means. She's just like, oh, great. I really need some aubergine from you tomorrow. So she sends him 3 eggplants. Yes.
And fantastic.
Tez goes and confronts him.
Yes.
But there is another sweet scene. There's a sweet scene as like, DCI, what's his name?
Burton.
DCI Burton and Tez are on the couch and they're like kind of coming to an understanding. Like, and it's not that Tez is accepting that there's a romantic relationship, because it's not. It's not romantic.
Not at all.
And I really hope they don't go down that. Well, who knows? Maybe it'll work. But it's definitely not romantic now. But he is like, he does kind of come to terms with the idea that his mother is not just his mother. You know what I mean? Like that she is a single woman, that she is this unique person, and that there are going to be, like, she is not going to just wear like mourning clothes the rest of her life and only like wail and beat her breast about the fact that she has lost. Because it's also like, it's very clear that she's still very connected to her husband and her father.
Yes,
and so
they're in the death cupboard.
Yeah.
She makes a joke at the beginning of the episode when she opens it. She says, I see dead Indians.
Yes.
Like, I see dead people. And she does love working it and scandalizing her neighbors.
Oh my God, yes.
Who are at the market as well. And they see her kind of like flirting a little bit with Polly, the spice.
And they see the detective leaving from her house in the morning.
Yes. And what does she do? She throws herself against the wall. She's like, I had a great night.
No, she's like, I hope you slept well. I didn't. And she like dry humps the door frame.
And they're like, and run away.
Yes.
Yeah.
The house scenes in this one, like the scenes of them at home are really, it's very sweet. It's very nice. Like they do it like both like solidifying. Because at the beginning of this episode, when DCI shows up and calls her like the death angel of the Berkshires or whatever, he loses his shit with her. And he's just like, he doesn't say partnership. He's like, but the last time meant nothing. It meant nothing. And so like everybody in the office is like, what happened there?
Yeah, yeah. But, and they're like, rude.
Yeah. But by the end of it, like he does come to, like he is more accepting of that relationship.
Yeah. And Sergeant Mint, I mean, if we could just talk about her name for a second, because
she's just another food.
Mint.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's another food. Mint. So just like, she's very fresh I don't know.
Yeah, she's bright and fresh and all that.
She is a delightful actress as well.
She nails the like wacky cop sidekick brief. It's like she's not purposefully wacky. Like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like she's not going around weird, but like she does have enough like just judge to her to like make things a little funny and a little bit of a comedy level to the whole thing. Another great line in this is that, so, and red herring too for that matter, like there's this whole red herring that for a long time halfway through the episode, Calvin, the very fastidious... Yes. So Calvin is the one with the pocket protector. He doesn't have a pocket protector. He does have all sorts of different pens and pencils.
Yeah.
Mint, at one point, just takes a highlighter from his pocket and, like, opens, like, bites on it to, like, hold the cap and pull it out. And she tries to give it back, and he's like, no, you can keep it. He's very fastidious. And there's a point where, like, his fastidiousness means that Mrs. Seydoux thinks that he did it. And the audience thinks that he did it because he's been working with Galloway to insert bad code into this because he wants, as soon as the bad code
Zazu
into
thing.
Zazu, because as soon as the bad code comes out, the price will go down and Galloway will be able to get it for a song. And he says at one point, I can't believe you made me do this. And he's like, eh, we'll figure it out. So we're like, oh, wow, like halfway through when Calvin has confessed to doing this.
Yeah.
Mrs. Seydoux thinks it's him. For a couple reasons, but one of the reasons is that, like, again, she, like, fans over the food smell to him, and she's trying to entice him, and he's a vegan because he can't bear the thought of anything dead, which is a big clue as to the fact that he didn't actually murder anybody. But in any event, he refuses Mrs. Seydoux's food. Mrs. Seydoux is just like, doesn't want any of my food? Yeah, he's guilty as hell.
Yeah, that was hilarious. There are some really sassy lines in this show.
Like at the end when she figures out everything, she's going to confront Bree Hamilton in the parking garage and she's got like her shoe out as her weapon.
Yes, yeah. And she says, come out, I'm armed and I'm menopausal.
Lovely.
She's coming for you. There were a lot of jokes about, or a lot of knowing conversation of women of a certain age who were talking about like the challenges of that and like finding love later in life or.
Yeah. Bree is bitter, bitter, bitter.
Yeah. But yeah, because she's a very sporty, like competitive, but always alone,
always
doing the sports alone. The assistant, the executive assistant, is also
she's just like, you know, like I'm gonna keep my head down because you know us old ladies are the first people they push out.
It could have been
a conspiracy. Well, it's not that it was a conspiracy of women, but Bree definitely says that she was working on behalf of all the women that he did. She's just like, let's not think that this is some funny little crime. Let's call it what it is. This is like lies and humiliation and extortion. One final thing I will end with, and I will implore them, please do this, because of course there's a whole scene. We talked about her bitchin' car, her little van and everything, and like she drives horribly onto this campus and into the parking garage. And there's one point they're panning through the kitchen and there's a post-it note on the refrigerator that says, check van insurance.
That was so great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Please, yes, check van insurance. We want you to stick around and solve many more mysteries for us, Mrs. Seydoux.
Yes. And speaking of mysteries and things that we want to promote.
Yes.
So I don't want to forget that Sook Panoo is the creator of this show. It was actually started as a BBC Radio. They had two seasons on BBC Radio. He was also a writer on Goodness Gracious Me and also The Kumars at Number 42. And we look forward to...
That's how he knows the actress and everybody got involved in that.
Yeah, yeah. We look forward to more of Mrs. Seydoux and all of his other work. And then also, not to forget, the guy who plays Calvin Berenger, vegan, fastidious guy, is played by comedian Matt Green. He's an actor, obviously.
Yeah, sure.
But he's a stand-up comedian, and I would say check out his Instagram at Matt Green Comedy. He does some great sketches that are like British comedy, like political comedy at their best. I know it bothers you, but I find it hilarious.
Fair enough. All right. Well, there you go. We're going to go get some treats now because somebody won.
I won. Yay. Will you make me some croquembouche?
I don't know a thing about jus pastry, but I know where to get you some. So yes. So let's get going. We'll do that.
All right.
We'll see you next time.
We'll leave you guessing.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. We really appreciate it.
And now we want to hear from you.
Tell us your guesses, your scores, and your suggestions for what shows we should watch next.
Go to our website, cluedunitpodcast.com, or email us at cluedunitpodcast@gmail.com.
Or find us on Instagram and Facebook at cluedunitpodcast, or on Twitter at cluedunit.
And if you like the podcast, please rate us and review us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts to help us get the word out. And maybe you'll hear your review read on the show.
Want to be a Whodunit private investigator? Leave us a few bucks at WhodunitPodcast.com and we'll send you a personalized, official Whodunit private investigator license.
Officially approved by the totally fake podcasting adjudication board in their secret headquarters in a mountain outside of Squamish.
We hope to hear from you soon, because
watching TV is always better with friends. So if you were wondering when we were referring to an fake flight attendant, it is Carolina Van Wy, who is a Spanish-Danish actress based in London. And her first step into acting was in the Maldives when she was cast as the face of the Trans-Maldivian Airlines.
Which, let's be honest, the Trans-Maldivian Airlines, that just sounds like it belongs in an Agatha Christie novel.
It really does.
Yeah. Anyway.
And maybe a vampire.
Oh, yes. Yes. Agatha Christie vampire mystery.
The vampire goes between Transylvania and the Maldives.
Sure.
I don't know how they stay out of the sun. That's for them to figure out.
That's it.